As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Welcome to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. Brought to you by Ye Old Orchard Pub.
There's a lead pass. In on Bo McDavid. Scores! 3-1 Canada!
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Martinez. Ball hit out into center field. Going back, Marquise Grissom. He's got it! Dennis Martinez has pitched a perfect game.
There's a shot. They score! Duclair! 1-0! 23 seconds in. Canada jumps on top.
Here's the 2-1 pitch. Cordero swings. Base hit. The Expos will win. The Expos will win. Cordero with a base hit to win the ballgame in the bottom of the ninth inning.
The drought is over. Drink it in, Canada. World champions.
It's Elliott. Elliott for the touchdown.
And now here's your host, Elliott Price.
Tomorrow, Tim Raines will get the call he never thought about when his career started. Something that may have crossed his mind when he first appeared on the Hall of Fame ballot. Something that he could almost taste after last year's ninth year at it. And something that will be devastating if it doesn't come. But the phone will ring. And Rock will join former Expos, late Gary Carter and Andre Dawson in baseball's Hall of Fame. Hard to believe. Having all three on the roster in the lineup at the same time didn't mean at least one trip to the World Series. And, of course, Pedro's there, too. But no use going into that right now. Raines' change from under 25% to over 75% tomorrow gives you an idea of baseball's changing opinions on what matters. He didn't hit a lot of home runs, but the man did produce offense. That there are still those that don't see his overwhelming contribution is beyond me. Fact is, baseball gets it now a lot more than the game ever did. Home run hitters have, for the most part, had a hard time with free agency this offseason. You need to produce offense, and the old batting average homers RBIs don't tell that story anymore, even if that is still the criteria for baseball's most exalted single-season success, the Triple Crown. It's about getting on base and getting home. And Rock got on base, got around the bases, and got home better than almost anyone he ever played with or against. And tomorrow, perhaps the phone won't ring. Well, they don't do that anymore, unless that's your ringtone. But his phone will go off at the proper time, and he'll deservedly go where few have gone before. He was one of the best that ever played the game.
Stood there boldly, sweating in the sun. Felt like a million, felt like number one. The height of summer, I'd never felt that strong, like a rock. I was 18, didn't have a care, working for peanuts, not a dime to spare. But I was leaning solid everywhere, like a rock.
Welcome to the show, the last show we will ever do without Tim Raines in the Hall of Fame. Look, I reached out, I crossed my fingers, and hopefully Rock will join us tomorrow night. The announcement comes at 6 o'clock. You will hear from Rock from an interview we did earlier this year. Nothing has changed since we talked to him in April. He had a feeling this was the year, and well, he should. Nobody has been where he was last year that has not gone to the Hall of Fame. And kind of anticlimactic, because we know that almost 90% that have had their ballots out in the public have voted for Raines. And now more than 50% of the ballots that will be cast are out there. So unless 50-something percent only vote for him the rest of the way. So tomorrow, Tim Raines will be announced as a Hall of Famer, and it looks like it could be just Raines and Bagwell, because Ivan Rodriguez is on the edge, and it looks like Vlad and Trevor Hoffman are going to be under the wire, and it's going to take another year, but they'll both get in. They're their first year eligible, and you put up those kind of numbers, you're a sure thing, usually the next year. Canadians lost 1-0 yesterday. We did that. They'll come home, and we'll see what they have. Very difficult. Very difficult in this year with the schedule. You're just not going to get those performances for 82 games. It's not going to happen. So you're going to watch sometimes, and your team's going to look like crap. Canadians lost 10-0 in Columbus. Blackhawks lost 6-0 the other day. It's just going to happen. There are going to be days where you don't look very good, and that doesn't tell you everything you need to know. There's nobody that's going to look good for 82 games. Amazing, Columbus put on the run that they did, but you saw what happened to them afterwards. The run that Minnesota is on may end up being even more impressive because they lost a game, and they lost another one in overtime, but they have only lost those two in, what, 20? So...
didn't have as many in a row, but like you said, it's almost just, it's just as impressive because of the consistent hockey they're playing. Losing one, you know, because of a bad bounce doesn't mean you're not playing good hockey. There's no question there.
And a wild game between the Capitals and the Penguins, and it's only just, I know Malkin had the good game, but we'll sum it up in 87 seconds. All right? Just because. All right? We'll talk to Arpan Basu tonight. We kind of switched up Arpan and Mark Dumont. So Arpan, managing editor from Elinash.com, he'll join us just after 8:30, just after Grant's update. And the hockey half hour includes Scott Morrison. And we'll talk basketball with Dwight Walton and then our interview with Tim Raines. Should be a lot of fun. This is Sportsnet tonight. I'm Elliot Price. The opening faceoff is next.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Tackling the latest headlines and the hottest topics, it's time for the opening faceoff with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Jack Capuano was fired today by the Islanders.
No!
A move a lot of us thought might come earlier on this year. There was him. You had Desjardins in Vancouver. But this one is now official. He's gone. He'll be replaced by Doug Weight. Are you surprised by this move?
No.
Did you see it coming?
Yes.
Really? So even the way... for me, it's always weird when you... same as Florida, right? Florida had just got a win, and then you fire him. You just got a big win against the Boston Bruins. Look, you're eight, they're last place, but you're only 8 points out of a wild card spot. You just got a 4-0 win. I always find it weird to fire the coach after it, but if you knew it was coming, you know, then I guess the result doesn't matter. But so you think this was decided this day, we're firing him? Like, what do you think? You think they knew, all right, we'll give him these next three games? Because it's not like the 4-0 win was the last straw, right?
No. This has been going on for a while. This has been a bad year. But if you follow the Islanders at all, and one of my favorite people, and we'll get him on, he covers hockey for Sports Illustrated, Daniel Friedman. I mean, they're going crazy all year because it's not only the losses, but it's some of the young talent that didn't get an opportunity to play, and they would sit them out, and it's very frustrating when that happens. And so it's one thing when you're losing, and I don't know, it happens to all coaches. Once they get past the point of no return, they start doing stuff they never would have done, right? Like picking a lineup out of a hat or something like that. And you go, what are you doing, right? Because you've lost the capacity. Everything you thought was going to work didn't work, and now you don't know what to do. And I believe the Capuano was there. And it was, it's been time for a while.
Yeah, I agree. To me, the most shocking thing about this is when I realize he's coached there for 7 years.
Really, huh?
If I would have told you, guess how long he's coached there? Because I'll tell you right now, I would have said four, right around there. And you could have even convinced me three, you know? 7 years. I'm not saying he's not a good coach, whatever it is. Look, he won them a playoff series. I get that. But to me, I saw that. Look, this team has had that one magical run. They had 100 points the last 2 years. But I never felt like they were a real contender. This guy was never going to be a 15-year coach. So, like you said,
it was a 7-year coach. How many 15-year coaches are there?
Well, that's what I mean.
7-year coach is a 15-year coach now.
How many Lindy Ruff guys, you know, that stayed in Buffalo forever? I don't see him being that guy. And I think that this is the first move to seeing Garth Snow be gone. Did you hear him today? I blame the salary cap. First of all, they have one of the worst cap situations in the league. And when you look at the talent, do you see them as one of the top talented teams?
Doesn't matter. Because in the age of Trump, you can say anything now, right? You can even lie. Fair. And it's okay.
It's okay.
That's right.
Just say it.
All right. Sure. I'll buy that.
So that's that. A premier matchup of the night. Look, some good news here. If you're watching it, two perennial doormat teams for years. Let's be honest. The Leafs and Sabres have been nothing to write home about for a long time, but now are on their way up. There's definitely a lot of young talent there. And the two keys to that, obviously, Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews, the two Americans play for the first time tonight. A lot of people said last year, if Austin Matthews were in that draft, he may have been picked third overall, right? Because Jack Eichel would have went before him. You've had a chance to see them both play now. Who would you pick if they were both in the same draft? I think we both agree McDavid still goes first. What about after that? Because you can, I know you can, people say, well, it's hard to compare Matthews was the rookie.
We're on who?
Matthews, Eichel.
Yeah.
Because that's been the argument, right?
Right.
Eichel might have been first if he was in this draft class.
Eichel's going to be a very good player.
I personally,
Matthews is going to be a superstar.
I kind of agree with those. I still think McDavid is that one notch up.
And if they went in the same draft, then they would go McDavid. Matthews, Eichel.
I think looking at it now,
and it's possible that Eichel will be the best number three ever. He won't, because there'll probably be threes that are in the Hall of Fame. But when you consider the two guys that are in front of him, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and I know Matthews wasn't in that draft, but again,
he's going to be. Not only is Eichel going to be a star, but he's going to be a tremendous leader. Here's a guy that was a captain as a kid on his college team.
Yep.
And he was looked up to. So, yeah, they're all right.
I think the difference is, look, Eichel last year, 24 goals. This year, he's not healthy, so that's not his fault. He missed time. But last year, 24 goals all year. Matthews already has 21. He has less to play with if you look at the line mates he has. And I just think it's not even that Eichel isn't a sniper or Eichel isn't great. It's Austin Matthews has 20 pounds on him. He plays a different game. It's there. Either way, like you said, they're great franchise players for their teams, but I know if you told me, Grant, you could have Eichel right now or Matthews, trade them, I'm not even thinking about it.
I think it'd be 32 out of 32.
So, all right, but it wasn't at the beginning of the year. A lot of people, because we hadn't seen Austin Matthews.
No, I don't think. I think that if you would have given people the choice at the beginning of the year, it still would have gone that way.
Well, I'm just glad.
Seriously.
With that. So, look, so sticking with Austin Matthews, did you hear how much his Centennial Classic jersey sold for? Someone bought it for $11,400. Now, I looked at this.
Dude, people paid to see the Leafs play for decades. Okay, I'm just saying.
One's different. But again, I think it's crazy to spend this type of money on something that, what, because the guy's sweating it? Like, that makes it more. But having said that, it makes you feel like you're part of the moment. So look, forget price. If you could own any game-worn jersey or have something from a game, what would it be?
Forget price. If I could have any
game-worn jersey, or it could be a ball, whatever it is, you know, like something, a piece of sports memorabilia that would cost a bunch, but that you would want to have.
Yeah. I want a ticket stub from the Expos World Series. This is what I want, okay? That's too much to ask for. You asked, I answered.
That's, well, I was thinking of them, like Michael Jordan.
You didn't think of that, eh? You want a Leafs ticket stuff from a Stanley Cup final game.
No, it's Austin Matthews. I even wrote it down. Austin Matthews, Game 6, not Game 7, because it won't get there. Stanley Cup winning jersey.
Oh, there you go.
Next season. Yeah. Next season. Maybe I'll wait.
I used to tell my daughter that. If you're going to wish for something,
wish for it now.
Why are you waiting for next year? It's most likely not going to happen next year. Why don't you wish for it now? This year, what? You're a playoff team now.
I agree.
Why can't you win a cup? You told me how good your goaltender is.
I told you yesterday.
Seen the goal he just gave up to Evander Kane.
Was it a nice goal?
No,
or
no, no,
does.
Not really. Yeah. I like to. Not really. But I'll say this: LeBron James, Game 7,
yes.
Golden State Warriors. The fact that it was a comeback. It's LeBron James, one of my favorite players. He'll go down as one of the greatest of all times in his greatest moment.
I want the ball from last year's final game, where that's fantastic.
With the handprint.
Right, but my handprint.
Your handprint on it. That's like right. it. You put it up against the wall, and every time you walk by,
I made the block.
Oh, I like
I
it.
Want, that's why I want.
I like my, it. Right. I like where your head's at okay, here.
Yeah.
Sticking with Cavs Warriors, they played last night. Warriors won by 35. That's the last time these two will play.
Well, that's it. Cavaliers lose the championship.
Well, this is where I'm going.
Oh, come on.
The only way they'll play again is until the finals.
How many times in a year have we had this exact conversation?
No, but LeBron James downplayed it, right? LeBron James said it doesn't matter.
What did it matter?
Golden State is taking it very seriously.
Of course. Because they lost the championship last year. What did it matter what the Raptors did against the Cavaliers during the regular season last year? Did it matter? When all was said and done, did it matter?
They came close. They put. Hey, I was there.
When it comes to playoffs,
yeah, it's a different.
There's only win and lose.
Yeah, that's very fair. It doesn't matter what you do. You
they
win
did
or
not
lose.
Win.
No, that's fair.
Right.
Look, I know people are saying that, well, now the Warriors have the advantage because the Cavaliers were talking about benching their three guys, right? Their big three, so that the Warriors wouldn't get this. I agree with you. I don't care that the Warriors won yesterday. The Cavs won the last three meaningful games they played in the finals. And the Christmas Day game, that's the primetime matchup. I think that's the most important regular season game that everybody watches. Cavs won that too. So until the Warriors beat them in a meaningful game, I don't think it changes anything, but the Warriors did make a statement yesterday, you know, just demolishing a really good basketball team.
Doesn't matter.
So, are you still confident if you're the Cavs?
Well, I don't think that my...
It doesn't change your level of confidence, is what you're saying.
Not whatsoever.
Just as confident as you were before.
Not, one game during the regular season. So, let's see now. I just fought my way through three series, right? And the final is starting today, and I'm going, God damn, you know what? We lost back on January 16th, so we have no chance.
Fair.
So we're done. We're not. Hello, Warriors. We're not even going to show up. We're it's yours.
Take it.
Come on.
No,
it's the dumbest thing I've ever.
I agree that it doesn't matter personally.
No.
This one. A little bit weird. Pittsburgh Steelers should be on a high right now.
Why? Did
Everything's
they beat
good.
The Patriots during the regular season?
No. But I mean, they should be
I know,
on. A,
I'm just saying.
They should be on a high, right? They yeah. just won a big game on the road against a very good team. Le'Veon Bell played great. Antonio Brown played great. And yet, all they're talking about right now, I saw an interview with Big Ben, an interview with Coach Tomlin, both kind of throwing Antonio Brown under the bus, calling him selfish, saying he's only thinking about himself. And this, did you see what it was for? That he posted a Facebook Live
video? Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. Does he look... Like, again, he's not talking during their speech, because Big Ben says in it, he should have been listening, not doing that. What do you think he's making the video of? It's the speech. He's showing the fans he's proud of his team.
You needed to say whatever it is behind closed doors. You know, I mean, you're doing just as much damage as he did. Yeah, for me, it was when I read what had happened, and it forced me to go watch this thing. And I went,
it was nothing.
Yeah.
I found the video was nothing.
Exactly.
I thought it was just something.
I went, you know, after a while, it was like, seriously? Okay, never mind. And for them to make a deal about it, like, I'm disappointed in Tomlin's reaction.
I agree with that.
Saying, oh, you know what? There are some guys around the league, and they bounce from team to team, and this is what? And I'm going, really?
Like, this
you
is your star.
That? You said He's that a, about Antonio
yeah,
Brown
like,
because of that?
Like, it's not like
yeah,
he was in the background talking
nah.
while the coach is talking.
Well, sort of, but it did,
no,
really
but
didn't
still
matter.
No, just like he's... It was a nothing
A total
move.
Overreaction yeah. from everybody involved.
And I understand why the media does that. That's what, we, that's
the
what
media
they do.
Doesn't
you
do
have
anything.
To have something
they
to talk
said,
about.
But still, this
but
is...
But as soon as Tomlin made yeah. it, I agree with you, as soon yeah. as he reacted the way he did, mm-hmm. he should have said, look, we prefer no videos made like that, but in the end, we won. That's our focus. Oh, yeah. We're focusing on New England. Still. What would Bill Belichick have said if somebody did that in the locker room? Nothing. We're on to Pittsburgh.
Right.
We're
right.
on to Pittsburgh. Now you're calling the guy selfish?
I understand,
come
but,
on.
But the guy might not have played ever again for the Patriots.
It's true. They would have traded him to the Browns.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Boy, I think.
Mizzou is wide open in the slot. Point shot to Kizer. Scores! Hits the body and gets through. Vanek in front of the goal, and it's 1-0.
Vanek in the crease. Did he impede the goaltender? Ooh, whoa, that's a weird bounce, eh? Holy smoke. Oh, it hit the inside of his leg. Inside of his leg, inside the thigh, and bounced down in behind.
All right, settle down, buddy. Thomas Vanek with the only goal yesterday. Red Wings beat the Canadiens 1-0. We go into the Habs dressing room. Just, you know, again, I've said it before, I'll say it again, a little advice to the Canadiens website. Very nice. Do a great job. Get an opportunity to listen to the players, but you have a bilingual audience. Would have been nice to hear Barbario in English. It was very nice to hear him speak French, but I know he speaks English, so we could have heard that. And the coach. I know the coach last night did not only address the media en français, so I'm just saying, you know, we could have heard from the players and the coach, you know? So there you go. But we did hear from Max Pacioretty and Nathan Beaulieu, and here they are.
You know, try and let the puck come to me. You know, got lucky a couple times out there with a couple of tips, and just tried to let the play come to me. I thought we played very well defensively. I thought we played very structured. Obviously, like you said, the shots kind of indicated that. Yeah, that team blocked a lot of shots tonight. Yeah, they did a pretty good job of getting that high guy in the slot. You know, their D-men were looking for that, especially early. They missed a really good chance right off the get-go. They got some guys that are in front that are really good with their sticks and seeing pucks and tipping them. So, you know, for the most part, I thought we did a pretty good job of tying those up.
Yeah, it was a hard-fought game, and I think we played hard for 60. It wasn't perfect. Probably through the neutral zone early wasn't perfect, but no game's perfect. I like the way we competed till the end. I thought our line had a ton of offensive zone time, and looking for a bounce, I didn't seem to get it. I don't know. I thought our line generated a lot of good scoring opportunities. So the way the game went tonight, we would have liked to be the difference, but weren't able to. There's a couple great A's, so I could think of Chucky's. I had one. I think Bo hit the post. So there's a couple great A's that maybe if it goes in, then we turn it around and start to apply the pressure. But just wasn't the case tonight.
Yeah, they block shots real well. They come out hard and sacrifice their body a lot. We knew that coming in. So I thought we made a couple good plays. We got some shots through. Used the back wall a little bit. It's very lively behind there. So we had our chances. I mean, it was a game of inches there tonight, and we were on the wrong side, unfortunately. Yeah. Oh man, it sucks. Like I just said, a game of inches. There's another one in the third. I threw it at Radu, and then, I mean, another couple inches that's in the net too. So it's the way hockey goes. The positive thing is we generated some chances. They played well, and you got to give credit where it's due sometimes. So we'll be fine. We'll respond.
No, you got to give credit where it's due always. Nathan Beaulieu there, what sucks, he was talking about, he hit the crossbar, right? So he had an opportunity, didn't go in. And we also heard from Carey Price there, as I'm sure you know, listening to the voices. The game of the night, no doubt, it was Penguins Capitals. Sure didn't go the way it was supposed to. 15 goals, 87 seconds.
And then Cole poked the three behind the net. And look out, right in front, Burakovsky scores, along with Cullen. Centering pass, look out, they score just like that. His net's off to Williams. Williams swinging wide. Shoots and he scores. And the Capitals didn't get it out. Malkin with a drive. He scores. Across now to Crosby. In front, Jerry. He scores.
And they were just in their chests out for a long time.
Here's a chance. Benino scores to tie the game. Daly shoots it. And a save made by Holpe at the post. And now Russ comes out of there with a puck. Try to center. He scores. Down to the corner. The Capitals are on the run again in their own zone. Malkin scores another one. And there's a chance now for Chorney shooting. They score. Schmidt closing in. Centers. They score. Just like that. Lars Eller ties the game. Here's Malkin with it now. Malkin trying to get it to the net. Grubauer. Malkin scores. It's 6-5. Here's Sheary with it. And Crosby scores. He sacrificed himself there. There's Ovechkin with a blast. Look at that block by Cole. Rebound goes in. And looking to that for that tying goal. Kick save made. Rebound. Score. Lars Eller gets his second of the game. Niskanen's back. Sheary shoots and the save made. And it goes in now. It rolls over the line. The Penguins have won the game.
I don't know how it got over the line. Look at this place going crazy.
Get any opportunity to see the trip from Crosby on Ovechkin? Not called. Not called. And the Penguins win it. Winning it, Milos Raonic. Nice start for him in Oz.
Milos, congratulations on the win. That was an imperious display. You started in great style with a serve. You finished with nearly 20 for the match. How good is it to have a weapon like that?
Makes my life a little bit easier. No, but it's great to be back here. It's great to be back here in Melbourne playing. Obviously, it's been almost a year since this Grand Slam last year, and I've always had great memories here, and I hope I can continue to write those for myself.
Well, you certainly enjoy coming here. You get great crowd support. We love having you here at Margaret Court Arena.
It's great to be here, and it's great to start off this tournament in 2017 here with this kind of support. I'm very grateful, so thank you guys very much.
Semi-finalists last year. Just dream a little bit for us. I know we've only got through round one, but what would it mean for you to be able to take those next couple of steps?
I mean, six more matches I got to figure out how to win. Yeah. So that's all I got to worry about.
All right. Well, we look forward to your next one as well. We love having you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, Milos Raonic. Yeah, it's one of those things. You don't really want to talk about the final when you've only won the first match.
Indeed. But there you go. You can't win the final. You can't win the final unless you win the first match. So good start for Milos Raonic and for Genie, and they'll move on. Meanwhile, Tim Raines, a tough night of sleep for the Rock, waiting for the announcement tomorrow, the phone call at 6 o'clock. No Hall of Fame last year, but he had a feeling for this year.
Well, I knew there was a chance that it wouldn't ring. I think I would have been very, very surprised if it did because, you know, at 55%. Getting 20% more of the voting than I did the previous year. It's something that, I don't think it's ever happened to propel someone over, especially after being on the ballot 8 years, you know. So, I hadn't got that big of a push from one year to the next. So it was kind of a reach or a stretch for it to have happened, this year. But, again, there was still a chance. So I was cautiously hoping that it could have happened. But, you know, it didn't upset me because I felt like the chances was probably slim that it would have happened this year. But I think next year situation would be a lot more positive than it was this year.
Right, the rest of the interview with Tim Raines coming up just after 9:30. Rock when they were in town in April, and looking forward to tomorrow. It's unbelievable that we are there. All right, Grant's got an update. Get you up to what's going on in the world of sports, and then we'll talk to one of our favorites, Arpan Basu. To talk Habs and NHL and all that stuff. You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight. I'm Elliot Price.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Elliot
Price.
C'est moi.
Elliot.
I'm the guy.
There is not any man like him anywhere in the world.
You're tuned in to Sportsnet Tonight.
Ding, ding, ding.
With Elliot Price.
Elliot Price.
12:80 a.m. Montreal.
Oh, it's a deep burn.
Sportsnet Tonight.
Oh,
Elliot
Price. Elliot. It's on me.
Elliot.
I'm the guy. I.
I'm the guy. How can you be the guy if I'm the guy? And you're the guy. All right, how are your Leafs doing over there? Buffalo power play. All right, you got a goal. I love that. I love it, right? Period ends. Leafs get scored on in the last minute, and I'm sure some silly announcer somewhere said, oh, that's killer. That's going to hurt. You can get scored on in the last minute of play. And, of course, Toronto comes out and scores in the first minute of play in the next period. So that's got to hurt.
I mean, it still hurts because technically it could be 1-1. But I agree with what you're saying. You know what
How did you get there?
You know what the worst is? Somewhere there's another announcer who said, for the Leafs, oh, well, good news is Buffalo has the 2-goal lead, the worst lead in hockey.
No.
That's my least favorite thing that anybody says. Because a 2-goal lead, to blow a 2-goal lead, guess what else you have to blow, Elliot? A 1-goal lead. You cannot blow a 2-goal lead without also blowing a 1-goal lead. So it is not the worst lead in hockey. I don't like that.
All right, but you got to blow the 2-goal lead before you blow the 1-goal
lead. I agree, but you understand what I'm saying. And would you rather be up by 2 or by 1?
6. I'm going with the 6. Hey, you know what?
You can tell you're spoiled.
The last time that the Pittsburgh Penguins lost a game in which they scored 7 goals, they also lost to Pittsburgh. And somebody said in that game there was a player that was a plus 6.
And he lost.
In an 8-7 game. Yeah. How are we doing? What's going on here? I'm checking. Arpin said that he's ready to go. He said, try again. So we're trying again. All right. Got Arpin coming on in a minute again. We'll talk hockey with Scott Morrison from Sportsnet. A lot to talk about there with the firing of Jack Capuano. Unless you missed it, the New York Islanders will have an interim coach. I don't know, but they're obviously in the market for a brand new coach.
I like the idea of Doug Weight there. I'd like to see what he does. You know, the ex-player. I always liked the idea of Doug Gilmore, actually, when I used to want somebody coaching the Leafs, you know, like whatever it was. I wanted to see somebody like that get a chance, so I don't mind seeing Doug Weight get a chance here. Never know what could happen. Can't get worse, they're already last.
What's that?
You can't get worse, they're already last.
I know, maybe they'll win the cup now, because that's...
No, let's not have that happen.
No, that's the Penguins. Sorry, I'm all mixed up. Arpin Basu, are you there?
I am here.
Oh,
how
it's
are
good
you?
To hear. I'm good. I'm good. It's Tuesday, right? So I must be good. I have no idea what that means. I don't know. If we're going to laugh like last week, because, of course, there can't be a ton of goals scored during your visit tonight. But you know what? Last night, when Eric Engels was on, the Penguins and the Capitals scored 3 times during one of his answers. One of his answers. Seriously. Granted, that happened.
And we're not insulting him, saying he takes long to answer. It really was a normal language.
During one of
12 minutes? That's quite extraordinary.
All right.
Yeah, that was a crazy game.
It was. Do we enjoy that? I mean, we don't want that all the time, right?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's fun, especially with those two teams and sort of the rivalry that they have and the star power that was on display, and the weird things with Ovechkin not really getting in on the act. But I mean, in that situation, I think it was fun. But I don't think people are like, oh, it goes back to the 80s and it was great, great hockey and it was so much fun. And you go back to those games in the 80s and I mean, it doesn't compare to now. I mean, in terms of skill and entertainment value, I mean, the goals that were scored, goalies didn't go down. Goalies were standing up trying to stop shots. I mean, it just looks ridiculous now. So, but it's fun every now and then to see, you know, two elite teams, Washington being a defensive juggernaut this year, get into a game like that. It's just great, especially when you have Sid against Ovi, and even if Ovi wasn't really a part of it. But I mean, it's good, and it got people talking, and it got, you know, so it was great theater, I think, last night.
Well, let's see a couple of things. First of all, Washington had gone 19 periods without giving up an even strength goal.
And, it's astonishing.
Yeah, and they hadn't given up 6 goals in any game this year, yet they gave up 6 goals in the second period last night. That's insane. It's wacky how things, you know, just it's just crazy.
And time for the Penguins to show up here.
I know, but you know what? So the Canadiens and the Red Wings play a 1-0 game, and you know what? 1-0 games can be very exciting, but they gave 1-0 games a bad name yesterday.
Yeah, they did. There was really no redeeming quality to that game. Even the goal that was scored, I mean, you know, it's not going to make any highlight reels. And so, I don't think either team was either. There's one of two things. Either team wasn't into a 3 p.m. game on a Monday, you know, very unusual start time, and they just didn't have it, or both teams played a masterful defensive game. I think it was more the former than the latter, but In any case, it wasn't very riveting television, to say the least. I watched it, so I mean, it was not great. And I don't think either team is particularly proud of the way they played. Detroit's obviously prouder because they got the 2 points, but was not a great game by either team.
One of the moves the Habs made, obviously, there's no game today, but Michael McCarron has been sent back to the AHL. We got to see him for an extended period there. He played, he contributed. Did you like what you saw from him and any growth you saw? Can you see him being an important part of this team's future?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'll have my doubts about him and whether he's going to be impact player is too strong, but like a really solid contributor to at the NHL level until this last little stint, and he showed flashes of it. And the one thing I came away with is that, and I never thought I would say this about Michael McCarron, but I just find him to be far more effective at center than he is on the wing. It's, you know, as soon as he had to move to the wing when they got Galchenyuk back, he just disappeared. Like, he just didn't seem to have the same engagement in the game. But having said that, if he's going to play center in the NHL, he does need to become a little bit quicker. But he did some really great things when they were really hurting injury-wise. And that his line consistently for two or three games in a row, you know, had an impact on the game almost every time they went on the ice. Spent a lot of time in the offensive zone. He's really tough to handle down low offensively. Obviously, not only his size, but he's got some skills along the boards there that make him tough to handle. But I think right now, since he can't play in the middle, it's probably for the best that he go down to the AHL and play in the middle over there. Because I think that in the long run, and I really was really skeptical that this was the way to go when they decided to move him to center at the AHL. But you know, kudos to them for seeing that. But it really appears to me like he is a more effective center than he is a winger, which is rare. I mean, you don't see guys who are moved from the wing to the center and then all of a sudden they're not as effective on the wing as they are at center. I mean, it's a very strange thing, but you compare the games where he played center to the games where he played wing, and the games where he played center, it was impossible to miss him, and the games where he played wing, it was really tough to notice him on most nights.
The flip side of that move is obviously Jacob Delarose back in the lineup. He's played, I looked at the stats, 56 games. Now. No, but I'm just saying he's had a chance to be in the lineup multiple times, yet never kind of stuck around. Is there any chance that this time is different?
Let me know when he plays a game where you go, wow. We're up to zero at this point, I think.
Well, you're never going to game where you go, wow. I mean, let's be frank here. The only reason Jacob Delarose is up is just because of how horrid the Canadiens have been on the penalty kill. I mean, it's the hope is that he can go in there and get some minutes on the penalty killer and help that unit, which seems ridiculous to have to call on Jacob Delarose to save your penalty killing unit, which is not really what they're doing, but I think they see him playing a role like that in the interim while they still get some guys back and maybe doing that, except he really doesn't provide a whole lot 5-on-5. Is a purely defensive player. I mean, his numbers in the AHL are nothing to write home about. He is really pigeonholed into a one-way player, which if one way is defensive, then it really doesn't bode well for your career. So, I mean, yes, they could maybe use him as a penalty killer, and I think that's the logic behind it. I don't really see a long-term future in the NHL for him, at least on Montreal. He has all the tools. He's a good skater. He's big. He's strong. Decent puck skills, but just the whole package together is just not a very enticing player, because I think his biggest attribute, as far as the Canadiens are concerned, is his mind and his awareness defensively. But you need to have some contribution offensively if you know, at the very least, spending some time in the offensive zone and being effective at it. And he just doesn't appear to have that, either at the NHL or the AHL.
With Arpin Basu, the managing editor at LNNash.com, joins us every week to talk hockey and Habs. The curious case of the defensive duo of Nathan Beaulieu, and I don't understand, and Petrie and their ups and downs. It's really amazing. Does this have to do with the fact that they played so much when they had to play, and man, they were great, and then they fell off the earth, and it's tough to understand how you can go, like, they're so noticeable, good and bad.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this, I mean, not to absolve Beaulieu of blame, because I think he actually falls into the same sort of trap, but one thing I've noticed about Petrie since he's been here is that he has stretches where he's great. And those stretches last for several games. You know, there's some players where, you know, guys will have a couple of good games and a bad game and then three good games and then two bad games. But Petrie's stretches are really long, where he has like 7 or 8 games where he's amazing and then 7 or 8 games in a row where he's horrible. And so, and there's really no middle ground. He's either off the charts great or really bad. And so you couple that with Beaulieu, who I think suffers from a bit of the same syndrome, maybe not quite as long stretches of good or bad, but I mean, does have some inconsistency to his game. And then you find yourself in a situation where you risk having both of them fall into a bad game for several games in a row, which I think is what's happening right now, and to the point where Therrien had to break them up yesterday in Detroit. First of all, it speaks to the value of Andrei Markov. I mean, people, you know, myself included, even doubting at his age at 38, being able to maintain his effectiveness. We've seen since he's been out how many goals they've allowed, and while Carey Price has taken most of the heat for that, the one thing that I think has gone probably a little under-mentioned is the fact that they haven't had Andrei Markov for that stretch where they've given up all these goals. So his value has been really accentuated by this whole thing. And in the long run, when you think about it, this injury might actually turn out to be a good thing for Andrei Markov, because you're giving him some games off. Might keep him fresher longer, because we all know how he finished the season the last 2 or 3 years, actually. But, you know, I think a guy like Petrie, who has a tendency to go up and down like that, really benefits from having a guy who is the model of consistency in Andrei Markov, who, you know, unless he's tired because of age, is phenomenal every night, more or less. So when you put Beaulieu next to a guy like that, who's uber talented and probably the best skater on the back end, next to Petrie, who is also a tremendous skater and would rival Beaulieu for that category, you have two guys who have a tendency to make mental errors and not think straight. And, you know, as a forward, you can afford to make a mental mistake because, you know, you're still 180 feet from your net in most cases. When you're a defenseman, like in Detroit, when Beaulieu decided to sort of softball that pass to Petrie and Petrie wasn't really expecting it and sort of jumbled it to Athanasiou, and all of a sudden you have a breakaway against you. And, you know, thank God for them, Carey Price was there and was on the ball on that one, but was just an example of the kind of things that those guys have been doing of late. But let's not forget, those guys were lights out for a couple of weeks and really helped the Canadians through a period where they really needed help. And we're getting more ice time some nights than Weber and Yemelin. So it's a case of you take the good and you take the bad, but it just shows to what extent that they don't have the depth that they thought they did on defense, because I think they expected Beaulieu to really take a bigger step this season than he has, and just how valuable Andrei Markov is to that team.
Arpin Basu, always a pleasure. Enjoy the game tomorrow night. Talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Elliot. Bye-bye.
Managing editor of LNH.com, Arpin Basu. And while we were talking, the Leafs scored twice. What a play by...
Thank you, Arpin.
No, you're just looking at the goal, right? Okay, This whole thing started because Matthews turned it around. It was going the other way, and Austin Matthews turned the whole play around and sent his team towards the Buffalo net from center ice and ended up putting one off the crossbar and the goalie's back. The other goal, the reason I hit my head is because I'm going, dude, why are you shooting from there?
And then he scores.
Is that Komarov? Who scored that?
No, that was Matt Martin.
Oh, all right.
The unsung here. I like Matt Martin, though. I think every team needs that, you know, the guy who goalie looks like he's garbage at hockey, right? But he's
never,
not.
Never score in the last minute of a period.
Yeah, it's the worst
thing. It's the stupidest thing ever. All right. Scott Morrison is coming up from Sportsnet. We'll talk Leafs. We'll talk Sabres. We'll talk NHL. We'll talk the firing of Jack Capuano. This is Sportsnet Tonight. I'm Elliot Price. That's Grant Robinson. This is CFMB 1280 AM in Montreal.
All your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free.
What a great turnout. Thank you all for being here, and welcome to
Sportsnet Tonight.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding.
Shut up, listen, and learn.
Every weeknight at 8 p.m.
I proclaim this the summer of...
All right, that's not exactly summer, but it was funny. Thanks to Daniel Yorio for all the work that he puts in on this show. We've got Scott Morrison from Sportsnet coming up in just a moment. Don't forget, we'll talk basketball with Dwight Walton after the top of the hour, and our interview with Tim Raines from earlier this year as Rock gets ready to roll into the Hall of Fame. So obviously, we're looking forward to that. The announcement comes down at 6 o'clock tomorrow. So the way things go normally, because we have half of the ballots already. So Tim Raines and Jeff Bagwell are going into the Hall of Fame. That's sure. Ivan Rodriguez, the catcher, on the edge. And maybe tomorrow. And it doesn't look like Vladimir Guerrero and Trevor Hoffman are getting in tomorrow. So they're all going to have to wait for next year. And the steroid boys, they're going to move further and further away from wherever they were. That's usually what happens with the late ballots. So there you go. That's the baseball. Again, the interview with Raines coming up late next hour. Right now, Scott Morrison from Sportsnet. How you doing?
I'm doing well, boys. How are you?
Busy, busy. You know. I love it. I was having a laugh because, you know, we're watching the Leafs Sabres here, and the Leafs scored at the end of the period, but the Sabres scored at the end of the period, and we don't have the volume up. And I said, surely somebody is saying, ah, that's it. Leafs are in trouble. They gave up a goal in the last minute. And, you know, so I said, don't ever score in the last minute, because that's obviously what killed them tonight. So silly.
Yeah, no kidding. They finally woke up is what happened. I mean, they sleptwalked through that first period and didn't play very well at all. And with all the parade talk in town over the week, maybe they were reading the clippings and listening to too much of the TV and radio.
Now, people all over hockey will see Austin Matthews score the goal, and I'm afraid they're not going to be able to see the entire play, because really he turns it around as a defensive player at center ice in what is really an odd man situation for the Sabres, and the subtle play that he makes turning it back the other way is, you can't teach that.
No, you can't. It's the instincts and the desire. And the one thing that they found so impressive with their young players this year, you know, we've seen the offensive skills and the goals and the plays they've made, but Marner, you throw into the loop as well, is that they've been as, you know, good defensively and hardworking defensively as they've been energized and excited offensively. And you see guys like Brown and Hyman, who aren't necessarily the offensive players that that Matthews and Marner are, but Babcock on a nightly basis talks about how they're hardest working players, and he challenges a lot of his veteran players to, you know, try and keep up with these kids in terms of their work ethic. And I don't know if you saw the Ottawa game the other night, but Matthews set up Brown for a goal that was just absolutely incredible, where he purposely lost the faceoff but stepped around the center and retrieved the puck and slid it across into the slot in front of the net, and Brown put it away. It was just one of those type of plays that only special players can make.
Look, one player I find that really doesn't get the credit, everybody knows he's a superstar, but he doesn't seem to get the credit, is Evgeny Malkin. The argument was always Crosby or Ovechkin. You know, last year we heard Crosby, McDavid. Right now, playing with Phil Kessel, Evgeny Malkin is right up there in scoring. He's one of the hardest guys to get off the puck, probably in the NHL. Do you find he gets the respect he deserves for as dominant a player as he's been?
No, he probably doesn't get, he gets a lot of acknowledgement, but let's not be silly about that, but probably not to the degree of some of the players you mentioned. And he does play to a certain extent in the shadow of Sid in that organization. And I think the other thing that, he kind of suffers from the big man disease, in that he never looks to be going as fast as he really is, because he is so large and the strides are so long. And a lot of times he can just kind of, I don't know, blend in on the ice, but then you watch and he makes a special play, or he's got that incredible snapshot to score a goal. So, you know, sometimes those big guys suffer from that, but they're not as quote unquote dynamic and flashy, but they're every bit as effective. And that may be something that's impacted him to some degree.
With Scott Morrison, executive producer of Hockey Rogers Sportsnet, and one of our guys once a week, Tuesday night, another 7 goals against King Henrik. That's a ton in the last week and a half or so. There have been all kinds of reasons and excuses marching through this season. And it's hard to believe that it could possibly have happened that fast. But are we reaching the end here?
That's a great question. You know, I haven't seen all the goals tonight, but from what I've heard, it, you know, wasn't very good defensive play in front of them. Yeah. And when the Rangers were a force out of the gate, they were kind of defying the analytics. And a lot of people didn't think that they were strong enough defensively to be playing at the level they were. And maybe that overall defensive play and the lack of depth on their blue line is starting to catch up with them too. And maybe he's just getting, you know, a little older and a little longer in the tooth and you know, not as good as he previously was. I don't think we're seeing the end, but maybe this start of a bit of a decline in his game.
Call me a romantic, but I'm dying to see Jerome Iginla. We asked, you know, if we could see any move happen. Not a Leaf. Jerome Iginla get traded back to the Flames for the playoffs, or even Edmonton. I know that's just Alberta, but just see him back on one of those teams, either the one he played for or the one that probably they would hate to see. Can you see either of those making sense, or even just Jerome Iginla being a valued commodity at the deadline this year, despite a down season?
Yeah, I think he's a guy that, you know, just given his heart and his experience and, you know, the fact that he has been a winner over his career and, you know, still a heart and soul guy, fights Cody McLeod the other night, one game after they traded him out of Colorado. That was an interesting matchup. But, I think he could be a nice veteran addition the way a Shane Doan could be for a playoff-bound team and maybe one that's lacking a little bit in experience. Is he a fit in that Calgary scenario? I don't know. I don't necessarily see Edmonton only from the standpoint, you know, they're still suffering, if you will, to a certain degree with Lucic trying to find his game. Maroons move up on their first line. Lucic dropped down to the third, and they afford another veteran guy in that whole mix. I'm not sure that's the right fit, but, you know, certainly it would be a nice, as you put it, romantic story to see him go back to Calgary and possibly finish things there. But like Doan, and it'd be nice to see again, like, get somewhere where he's got a shot one more time.
And before we let you go, Jack Capuano let go today by the New York Islanders. If you would have asked me and I didn't know the answer, how long had he been there? I sure as hell wouldn't have said 7 years. It's hard to believe that he has been the coach of the Islanders that long. Many people thought this was going to happen before today.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was third or fourth in tenure when that
crazy
happened. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, inevitably, as we all know, the coach is the first to go, and it's the one tool that the general manager always has before other drastic things have to happen. And I don't know that I would hang that team on him. You know, they let some quality players leave in the off season for nothing. You know, Opozo and Nielsen departed, and they didn't get any assets back and lose them on the market. They had the three-headed monster in goal that just didn't sit well with anybody, and consequently, none of the goalies played very well. So I feel for him. He was a hard-working guy and a pretty bright guy, and I knew him as a kid when he first drafted in the Leaf organization. But, you know, inevitably coaches hired to be fired, as we know. So, and a bit of an ownership change there, too. So I think the new ownership group a little more impatient than perhaps the group that preceded. And it'll be interesting to see what the shelf life is now for general manager Garth Snow.
Always a pleasure. Thank you. Talk next week.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Scott Morrison, ladies and gentlemen, executive producer of Hockey Rogers Sportsnet, an insider on Hockey Central, and on Sportsnet Tonight here in Montreal. Elliot Price, that's me, and Grant Robinson, that's him, CFMB 1280 AM. Grant's got an update coming up in just a moment. We'll talk basketball with Dwight Walton, and don't forget the interview from earlier this year with The Rock, Tim Raines, who surely will be announced as a Hall of Famer about 21 hours from now.
An unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
gotta go to the pub. Ye old Orchard Pub. Gotta go to the pub. Ye old Orchard Pub. If you haven't been there, you probably should. Yeah, the beer is cold and the food is good. I think upon my friends in the neighborhood. Gotta go. Gotta go. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub. Ye old Orchard Pub.
Now open on Salaberry and Chateauguay.
Gotta go.
You want your money to grow. You want it to be there when the time comes. Let me tell you about Paramount Financial Services and Lauren Rubin at 514-905-0885. He's taken care of my money for years, and I can worry about other things. Does your financial advisor move your money around constantly to make sure he's making money, whether you do or not? Let's not forget, it's your money. And Paramount Financial Services will take care of what's most important, and that's you. Call them at 514-905-0885. It's your money. Grow it for a better future. Paramount Financial Services.
Say goodbye to buffering, stuttering, and annoying pop-ups. Say hello to Sportsnet Now, a new way to stream sports without cable TV. Matchups from the MLB, NBA, and the NHL. And more of your favorite Sportsnet programming. Plus, watch every Blue Jays game on any device in true high definition. Your sports, your way, starts now. Visit sportsnet.ca/now to start your free trial.
Another great year at Windmill Heights Golf Club. More work done as the course gets better and better. And more improvements on the way for 2017. Family owned with an ear to their members. You have a suggestion, they'll listen, but chances are they already know. They play their own course. Golf too expensive? Not this year. Call Windmill Heights Golf Club and we'll make it work. I love the ease of travel, the food, and the fact that they won't ask me for more money when the season's over. Great food, great golf, great price, great members. Call Lino Carboni, 514-453-7177, extension 3. 514-453-7177, extension 3. They're creating something special at Windmill Heights Golf Club.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
It's time to talk hoops. We're on the night shift. Dwight Walton, as every Tuesday. Time to talk basketball. How you doing, big man?
So what's good, Elliot? How you doing this evening?
I'm all right. You know, I'm looking at the standings over the last couple of days, and I see our Lakers and where they are, and I'm thinking, yeah, it's almost time to start losing again, you know. I'm just saying, it's a difficult spot because you're not getting a great player where you are, but they're not that far from getting one more great player, just saying.
You know, though, they are in a quandary there because do you want to go back into the draft or do you believe because Kobe Bryant is no longer a part of the Lakers and the young players have had an opportunity to show off their talent, are they an attractive destination? After all, it is Los Angeles. It is the Lakers. Does an established star out there right now want to play with D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, Brandon Ingram, Jordan Clarkson, that young core? They got off to a terrific start this season. They have a terrific young coach in Luke Walton, who I believe is going to end up being a mentor to these players and have a tremendous influence on these young players. But is there a player out there, Elliot, an established star that wants to play in L.A. and to go through the growing pains with this group? It's nice to grow through a draft process, but it is L.A. I think they're not really in the rebuilding stage, although they are right now. But they have to answer themselves that question. It's nice to go through the draft and get nice young talent, but at the end of the day, you still want to win and you want to be competitive. So I believe that's where the Lakers are. They're hopeful to sign a big-time star this summer, but that remains to be seen if L.A. and the Lakers are still an attractive destination.
All right, to shame on me, that was self-indulgent. No way I should have led with the Lakers, but you know, you and I—we're long-time Laker fans, my friend. So anyway,
yes, yes.
Okay, so I'm not going to give you any leading questions on this. Okay, I'm sure you and your basketball people have already discussed. So I'm going to let you talk. I'm just going to say, Warriors 126, Cavaliers 91. Speak, big man.
A big down of epic proportions, obviously. The Cavaliers and Martin Luther King Day doesn't seem to agree with each other. We can sit here and say that the Cavaliers didn't feel like playing. They didn't show up. They had injuries to J.R. Smith. Kevin Love didn't play in the second half because he had back issue. Kyrie Irving is still dealing with a hamstring injury. We can go through all the excuses that we want. The reality is, the Golden State Warriors wanted to make a statement. They hadn't beaten the Cleveland Cavaliers in four straight games, dating back to last year's NBA Finals. They came out strong. They were at home. They wanted to make sure that the Cavaliers still respect them. Of course, there's questions out there about this being a rivalry. The reality is, this will be the first time I heard a stat today that indeed if the Cavaliers and Warriors meet in the finals, for the third straight year, this will be the first time since the 1920s in any of the four major professional sports in North America that two teams will meet for three straight years in their championship round. So that includes the infamous Celtic-Laker rivalry, in which they only met three times in the decade of the 80s. So if we think that was a rivalry, as far as I'm concerned, this is definitely a rivalry. These two teams are the best teams in the NBA. The Golden State Warriors wanted to establish themselves again as relevant, and they already are. We already know that. They're 36-5 or 35-6, whatever their record is after the first 41 games of the season. We thought they were struggling at the beginning of the year. They're the best offensive team in the NBA. Their statistics right now defensively are through the roof. They lead the league in block shots. They lead the league in steals. They lead the league in deflections. Kevin Durant has turned into a block shot demon, protecting the paint for these guys. It's getting to the point where it's for me right now anyways, the way it looks as of January the 17th, that it's the Warriors' championship to lose, only because it's going to be very difficult to try and outscore these guys. And that's what I saw last night. And, of course, it's the regular season, and an NBA playoff series is going to be much different for 3-4 months from now. But I know one thing that won't change. The Golden State Warriors will be able to have two of their four starters on the court at all times. We're talking about Curry, Thompson, Durant, and Green. Two of those four guys will be on the court all the time. And all four of those guys can make plays for themselves, off the dribble for others. They pass the ball like crazy. There's a crazy stat out there right now that when they get 30 assists or more in a game, I believe they're what's their record here? 27-1. That's insane. They had 26 assists at halftime last night. They share the basketball. There's no ego on that team. And it's going to be really, really tough to beat them during the course of a seven-game series. I'm not saying that the Cleveland Cavaliers can't do it. I'm just saying it's going to be very, very difficult because of the way the Golden State Warriors can score the basketball. That's what I took from that game last night. Can the Cavs improve over the next 6 months? Of course they can, but it's going to be a tough road to hoe as far as I'm concerned.
All right, before we let you, before I hand you over to Grant, you mentioned since the 1920s, no league had the same two teams play 3 years in a row. Let me just say, from 1949 to 1964, let that ruminate, that's 16 years, the Yankees made the World Series every year but two, okay? And no National League team could make it 3 years in a row to play them during... I know Brooklyn might have had a three in four there with Jackie Robinson. All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, look, I know you were a big fan of the Clippers. I think a lot of people think they could do something in the West. Obviously, they had some injuries this year. Blake Griffin, we saw they survived that. They're still, I believe, in fourth best record in the West. But now Chris Paul out 6 to 8 weeks. Blake Griffin should be back next week. So let's say once he's in the lineup, can they survive the same way they did with Chris Paul out? Or is that a much bigger loss?
And I know why you're asking the question, Grant. I don't think they can. Can they still maintain a playoff spot in the West? Yes, because of how bad the back end of the Western Conference is. Raymond Felton, God bless him, he's a very viable backup, but he's not Chris Paul. And I want to give you a statistic, which I heard today, which I didn't know about Chris Paul. In Chris Paul's entire career, only 1 year, Grant and Elliott, 1 year did he average more than 3 turnovers per game. So you think about how great that is for a point guard with his usage rate. To only average over 3 turnovers a game for one season out of Chris Paul's illustrious career, that's a staggering statistic. And that's the leadership quality and the quarterback quality, the coaching quality on the floor that Chris Paul brings to the Clippers. You can't cut the head off of the snake and expect to be successful. Can they tread water? Maybe. Is Raymond Felton and Austin Rivers viable backups to Chris Paul? Yes, but they're not Chris Paul. You can survive without Blake Griffin because of the leadership qualities of a Chris Paul. But now you take him out of the equation, you're bringing back the player in great Blake Griffin, who's healthy, but he's not in basketball shape. He's not in basketball rhythm either. It's going to take him some time. DeAndre Jordan is trying to improve his offensive skill set, but he is still not a scorer. He's a defensive demon. He blocks shots. He rebounds at a very high efficient rate. But we're going to see. These are trying times for the Clippers. These are adversarial times for the Clippers. It's going to be tough. I still think they made the playoffs. Chris Paul hopefully comes back and tries to be the best that he can be, because he'll be back for the playoffs. What kind of rhythm will he be? Will he be afraid to defend going over screens? That's how he hurt his thumb last night. It's too bad. A broken hand last year, a hamstring the year before, a thumb issue this year, Blake Griffin being hurt for half the season last year and getting hurt again in the playoffs, Blake Griffin being injured this season. It's just too bad. This was Doc Rivers' best team that he had assembled in Los Angeles since he became the president, the GM, and the coach of this team. And now to have all these injuries rear its ugly head again, are we ever going to get an opportunity, guys, to see the Clippers at full strength and at least give themselves a chance to get to the Western Conference Finals? It's too bad. I would love to see this group be healthy and at least give it one more run. And of course, all of these questions are going to now resurface again in terms of, should they keep this group together? Is it time to move on? Chris Paul is 32 years old. He's had a long run in the NBA. He's been fantastic. But Father Time remains and will always be undefeated. So we'll see what they do. They'll make the playoffs, I believe, but it's going to be a tough road ahead for them, of course, for sure.
Last thing I got to ask you, as a fellow Cowboys fan.
Oh, I knew this was coming.
What was going through your head, 2nd-and-1, best O-line in the league, leading rusher, and Dak Prescott is called to throw a wide receiver screen like that? Tell me you were as upset as I was with that.
Well, listen, all of Cowboy Nation was upset with that. And I do understand that all of us want to be coaches when we're watching our favorite teams play. Of course, we can second guess Scott Linehan, Jason Garrett, and the offensive side of the football. But you know what? This young group, the resilient group, they came back. Mm-hmm. They tied the football game. We could sit here and talk till we're blue in the face, Grant. It is what it is. I was proud of the group because of the way they came back. And I'll be honest, as a fan, I was nervous in my house. I know Elliot tweeted me during the game. I tried to say with a straight face that I was calm, cool, and collected, but I wasn't. I was very, very, very down when they were down 21-3. I didn't think they can come back, but they did. They got the defensive stops when they needed it. Could they have run Ezekiel Elliott more? Of course they can. The dude had 22 carries for 125 yards on Sunday evening. Could he have gotten more? Of course he could have. But when you're going up against a historically great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, and you give him that much time at the end of the football game, we can question everything that went on in that football game. The Bryce Butler penalty. The holding call on one of Zeke's runs. A whole lot of stuff happened in that football game. But at the end of the day, the Cowboys still had a chance to win, and it took a historically great moment in NFL history, and Rodgers completing that pass down the sideline to Jared Cook. If you watch the highlight, even Aaron Rodgers was telling Jared Cook to get on his tippy toes, to keep his feet in bounds, to catch that ball and just, you know, softly drop out of bounds. It was a great play. Much respect due to Mason Crosby for making three field goals, although only two of them counted. Jason Garrett called that timeout. It's tough. I could talk about this for the rest of the night. But the future does look bright. Just because you're young and have great players doesn't mean you're going to get the Super Bowls in the future. But in terms of Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Dez Bryant, the offensive line, I think it might be time also for the Cowboys to try and go out there and find an edge pass rusher, a good cornerback, not a shutdown corner, but a better corner than what we have right now. And maybe find the heir apparent to Jason Witten at the tight end spot. The Cowboys will be pretty good. Just hopefully everything falls into place. No major injuries come about. And we'll be in the playoffs once again and have a better outcome next season and seasons to come.
All right, big man.
Well,
you know
said.
When you
well
know
said.
when I knew that it was the wrong call on the that pass instead of running Elliott? Richard Sherman was on the sideline yelling at the coach, like, what are you doing, dude? You know, so that kind of tipped me off, you know? Run the beast through the middle is, you know, that's...
What's crazy is when you saw the other camera angle, Dak knew it was picked off as soon as he threw it.
Yeah.
I think he wanted to throw the ball into the dirt. But by the time he even realized, much respect to Micah Hyde.
Okay, but hey, big man.
It was film study. He jumped the route. He saw what was going on.
Okay, it was the worst call for three different teams during this postseason, okay? Osweiler threw that pass, and it was intercepted for a pick six, okay?
Yep.
Cook threw that pass for the Raiders, and that was intercepted. That ended up in a touchdown, also inside his own 10-yard line. It's just,
right.
You know, NFL players right now, defenders, have enough speed that, for the most part, that's not going to be a great play.
Sometimes it is, though. Antonio Brown took it for a touchdown in week one.
I understand.
Hey, hindsight's 20-20.
Look at the play that they... But you know what? With the short little pass that got Pittsburgh past Kansas City at the end there, that last pass, did you see what they did? Antonio Brown came from the left post to come all the way across the field.
He basically ran a 10-yard passing play, 40 yards.
It was unbelievable.
I agree.
True.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, we're all in the same boat here. Next year is going to be a good one. Cowboys Raiders Super Bowl.
I'll take it.
I look forward to that.
Me too.
All right. Talk to you next Tuesday.
Have a good night, fellas. Thank you.
Could be a good night. If your team can hold on to a third period lead there, Leaf fan. That has been... Did you?
Hey, I just want to put something out there. Everybody brings this up. Imagine if they could hold on to a third period lead. They already need one win and one overtime loss in their next six games.
I know.
To be second place.
It was a good point there on Twitter the other day. How is it was it Dangle? He said, how is it that the Leafs still have six games in hand on the Bruins? Are the Bruins playing a 90-game schedule?
I agree.
This is for weeks now that they've had. Not only that, it's grown.
Well, they had four, and then they had a week bye. Yeah,
It's stupid.
I don't understand. By the way, you're going to hear this in the update next, but we talked about yesterday's game.
Well, you can't say it now if you're going to do it in the update.
Well, yesterday's game ended 8-7.
Yeah.
Rangers and Stars is getting close. 7-6.
No way.
7-6.
Hey, look.
More goals.
If you're a future Hall of Famer that's been replaced by who the hell is that?
It's never good.
It's time to worry about King Henrik in New York. You know? Who thought they would be concerned that Raanta is, you know? And that's what happened here in Montreal. Right? He got hurt here, and then Henrik came in and didn't look good. And didn't look good before that. Crazy!
He's looked bad for quite a while now.
He has.
That hit.
Oh, he got crushed, Deacon. So you see what happened? Did you see the continuing role on that?
No, this game something.
Yeah, so Eakin ran over Henrik, right?
Yep, bad.
And then Eakin got his own helmet squashed into his face.
Perfect.
And then Eakin scored. on Henrik.
That's not good. That's not good. You lost both battles there, King Henrik.
All right. Grant's got an update coming up, and as we promised, our interview with The Rock, Tim Raines, who tomorrow will go into baseball. He won't go into the Hall of Fame tomorrow. It will be announced that he has passed the test, that he has gotten more than 75% of the votes, and that he will be going into the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown this summer. Will Vlad go with him? It's going to be touch and go tomorrow. He's kind of dropped under, but we'll see. Should be a fun day tomorrow. Grant's got an update. What's going on in the world of sports? That's coming up next. You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Elliot. Elliot.
Hayes!
Elliot. Elliot. Elliot.
Hayes!
Elliot.
Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price
and Greg Robinson.
Well, this whole place sucks. That's right, it sucks.
Well, it sure has taken a long time to get here. Finally, it's the night before Tim Raines gets the announcement. We had an opportunity to catch up with Rock back in April, but not much has changed in his thinking and in what's going down. So let's go back to April and an opportunity to hear from Tim Raines.
We welcome the great Tim Raines to Price is Right. Always a pleasure to talk with you, Tim. And here we go. This is a very important year coming up. Nice to hear your voice.
It's good to be back out on the field, really. You know, new season. Toronto Blue Jays had a great season last year. Hopefully it'll be better this year. Possibly winning it all, so it's a good year.
Here you are, you're still in baseball. Obviously, it has been a life. What do you enjoy as far as coaching is concerned?
I think for me, it's giving back. Love being around the younger guys and hopefully making them better. Some of those guys who are just at that point in their careers, or maybe my experience and knowledge of the game could help them or help propel them to become major league players. And that's what it's all about for me. You know, I think, you know, spending 23 years as a player and now close to 10 years as a coach, I kind of enjoy being around the game. I've been around it all my life pretty much, and I kind of feel like it's my opportunity to give something back.
Are players different than they were in your day, or are players players?
There are some. I mean, you very seldom see the old school like type players. And I think social media plays a big role in that. As you know, we didn't have the social media back in my day and even beyond before me. But, I think social media plays a really big role in, the good and the bad that comes with it. I think it has changed, the way people think about the game and about players because of it.
A full house at Olympic Stadium in 2016. What do you think of that?
I'm kind of looking forward to it. You know, I remember I didn't go to any games last year, but the year before I saw the so electric, man. It kind of brought back fond memories of back in the early 80s. It was a joy to watch. I mean, it was a joy to be a part of and a joy to watch. And it was kind of ironic to see that Olympic Stadium being filled again, and because I remember those days when it used to be full of fans every day. So hopefully one day we'll get a chance to see that all over again.
With the great Tim Raines, as the Blue Jays and the Red Sox in town for the two games to show Major League Baseball that baseball lives in Montreal. Did you ever think, I mean, there were, when the team left and leading up to this, your thoughts during that time about the possibility of baseball returning to Montreal?
Well, ever since, I think it's like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, Warren Cromartie came to me and told me that they was going to start a project of getting baseball back. And I think that was probably the most comforting words I had heard about the game itself. Because for me, I actually feel like I was born in Montreal and I'm a Montreal guy, you know, and that's where it all started for me. That's where I grew up. I mean, I was a 19-year-old kid playing in Montreal, and that's where baseball started for me. And the first 11 years of my career was in Montreal. So, I mean, if anyone knows Montreal, I do. I love it there. I love the fans. I mean, I love the city. I love the country. And, you know, if anyone is, no one is, even Montreal people, I mean, I don't think anyone's pulling for it more than I am.
Rocky, you got one more year on the ballot for the Hall of Fame. What, I mean, January comes and the phone didn't ring. What was that like?
Well, I knew there was a chance that it wouldn't ring. I think I would have been very, very surprised if it did. Because, you know, at 55%, getting 20%, 20% more of the voting than I did the previous year. It's something that I don't think it's ever happened to propel someone over, especially after being on the ballot 8 years, you know. So I hadn't got that big of a push from one year to the next. So it was kind of a reach or a stretch for it to have happened this year. But again, there was still a chance. So I was cautiously hoping that it could have happened, but you know, it didn't upset me because I felt like the chances was probably slim that it would have happened this year. But I think next year situation would be a lot more positive than it was this year.
Come on, Rock. You deserve to be a Hall of Famer. When your numbers are compared to some of the players that are in the Hall of Fame, and the Stolen Base Trophy is named after Lou Brock, and I don't want to denigrate the memory of Lou Brock if you're a better player than he was. And, you know, Tony Gwynn is in the Hall of Fame, and your numbers match up favorably with his, but you walked, and he got hit. You ever think you should have swung at some more pitches?
Well, looking at it right now, and I'm 56 years old, maybe, yeah. I thought if I would have thought that the chances of getting to the Hall of Fame depended on that, I probably would have. But, you know, I've never was that type of player who thought about, you know, individual stats and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just a situation of, as a player, you go out and try to do the best you can day in and day out and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. And, you know, I did it my way, and if I had the chance to do it all over again, there might be some things that I might have changed, but not very much.
You know, they say to get in the Hall of Fame, you have to be at the top of your position during the time when you played. Well, your position was leadoff, and in the history of the game, it can be argued that perhaps maybe only Ricky Henderson, and yet you played at the same time as Ricky. I mean, that's just crazy. You think that hurts you?
It probably does, but I don't know why it does, because you know, it doesn't really matter if two guys are the best of their position. Why can't both get in? You know, why does it have to be one? But that's, you know, when you're talking about situations like that, I think it comes down to what the reporters or the sports writers feel. I mean, and if you ask each and every one of the guys that have a vote, they probably all have different answers for, you know, the way they're going to vote and what are they looking for and what are they, you know, how do they feel about certain players. So, you know, it's weird that it all comes down to, you know, one more year left and it comes down to a reporter who probably never seen me play, you know, making that decision on if he should vote for me or not. So, you know, I know it's tough for me as a player, hoping that someone that likes me enough to actually circle my name, you know, 23 more votes more than I had last year. So it's going to be interesting. I'm kind of looking forward to it because it is my last year. I'm patiently waiting. I try not to think about it, but it's just a part of, you know, it's the final chapter of my career. And I'm kind of looking forward to it, so I don't have to really think about it anymore.
Tim Raines, does a player at any time in his career think, wow, I think I have a chance for the Hall of Fame? Did you think about that at any time when time was running down?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, I never, not once, thought about Hall of Fame or, you know, when my career was over, would anybody think that I was one of the best at what I did? You know, I guess it's just me being me. You know, I never really thought about it. I mean, I think, you know, when you think about a lot of these guys that are great players that are in the Hall of Fame, I think they thought about it a hell of a lot more than I did. And I kind of wish, you know, looking back, I kind of wish that maybe I would have. But, I mean, you know, I was thinking more about making a team at one time, and then I was thinking more about keeping a job than Hall of Fame type stuff. I mean, I just thought about from one year to the next, how can I get better? I never looked at it that way. I mean, I always try to be the best that I could be as a player, but I never looked at other players and say, I want to be better than him. You know, I always want to be the best that I could be at my position, but I want to be the best that I can be for the team that I was playing for. So I looked at more about my team than about my individual goals or stats to become a Hall of Famer. I think the only time I really thought about the Hall of Fame is when the time came, the first year I was on the ballot, and I got enough to stay on for the next year, and then I started getting more votes, and I think that the more votes I got, the more I started thinking about it. So, I mean, as a player, I never really thought about it.
Well, we certainly hope for the best in that area. I know a lot of Montreal Expo fans will be waiting in January and hoping in the summer of 2017 that we'll all get together in Cooperstown and listen to your speech.
Well, I certainly hope so, too. I'm kind of looking forward to, if it does happen, seeing all the Montreal fans there.
Tim Raines, always a pleasure. Looking forward to seeing you, and have a terrific summer, and let it go fast so we can get to January.
All right. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back.
I'm hoping he joins us. I was just going to say, here's a chance for your team to put the game away, and they score!
Hottest team in the league they win this game. Yes, they are. It was hotter Washington before.
18-1-1?
Listen, last 10. We don't go back 20. That's like saying hottest team in the league has got to be first place. But 18-1-1 is pretty good. I can't really argue with that. That's pretty good.
18-1-1. I always have an answer. You know that.
But in the last 10,
yeah.
I guess Minnesota's last 1-1 there are in the last 10 then.
You were doing so well.
Hey.
All right. So what are the Leafs in the last 10?
In the last 10?
Yeah.
They will be...
Okay, they're the same as Minnesota, right?
1, 2, 3, but yeah, they'll have 8 wins then. Hottest team
they
in the East.
They are the co-hottest team in the National Hockey League.
And both look like they're going to win tonight.
All right, huge goal there. And they will move to within a single point of the Boston Bruins and still have 5 games in hand. All right, we'll have the NHL fantasy update coming up next. What's going on in the NHL? Again, look, it took us most of the fantasy update last night just to do the Penguins and Capitals. Tonight, it's the Rangers and the Dallas Stars have scored 1 million goals.
I wrote it down. Don't worry. I got that one out of the way.
Oh, you are so good.
I got
good.
That one out
that's,
of the way.
That's so smart. All right, that's coming up next. Don't go away. You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and then Grant Robinson.
Shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Gonna get back to basics.
That's what we need to do. We need to get back to basics, Craig. We're going to start it up again.
I like it.
You like that? All right.
I'm liking what I'm seeing.
They score again?
No.
Oh, okay. Is it 12-2 yet?
Save some for the next game.
All right. Time for the NHL fantasy update that we do every single night. That gets started, you know, somewhere along the lines of how many games are there? So there are enough games that 9:55 is a good time to start tonight.
Especially with this one.
Oh, go ahead.
Here.
Stars-Rangers at 7. Oh, what? Nobody scored in the third period?
No, 7-6.
Oh, Rangers scored 3 in the third. It was 7-3.
7-3, then 7-6. So here we go.
Okay.
I'll start with Dallas. Jamie Benn, nice bounce-back game for him. A goal, 2 assists. Patrick Sharp, 2 goals there. Eves with a goal and 2 assists. Here's an interesting one. Cody Eakin, remember him hitting Henrik Lundqvist? Had a goal, an assist, and a fight tonight. The old Gordie Howe hat trick.
Nice.
Chris Kreider on the other side. Same exact stats. So he fought him.
No.
They each had a goal and an assist. So
get
the double Gordie Howe.
Whoa.
Is this now the Eakin Kreider?
Okay.
They've done it, two less times.
Very nice.
So there you go. But Krakno, Russo with the other goals. Faxek, Korpikowski, 2 assists each. Seguin, Hudler, and Shore with an assist each. Niemi, 22 saves on 28 shots was good enough for the win. For the Rangers, Stepan, 2 goals and assists. Mika Zibanejad, his first game back, 2 goals. And Bushnevich, goal, 2 assists. Kreider, I told you, goal, assist, and a fight. Zuccarello, 3 assists. Rick Nash, 2 assists. And McDonough, Klein, Clendenning with an assist each. Henrik Lundqvist, 7 goals on 27 shots before being pulled after 2.
How about the Carolina's goaltender? How do you pronounce the backup guy? Nedeljkovic?
Sure. Sure.
Ward gave up 4 goals on 19 shots. Nedeljkovic, 17 saves. Saved everything. But it was too late. 2 goals for Brandon Dubinsky and a plus 3. Atkinson, 2 assists and a plus 3. Jenner, plus 3. He was 1-1. 2 assists for Murray, and Sedlak had the other goal. On the other side of the ledger, not pretty. Although the rookie Aho scored again. He's got 11. Sebastian,
I like
Aho.
Him.
Yep. Stepniak and Teravainen with the assists. And man, oh man, there were a lot of minuses on the Carolina side. Hainsey, Lindholm, McGinn, all minus three.
Only good in golf. Toronto, Buffalo, 4-2 right now. Toronto, Leo Komarov, Matt Martin, James Van Riemsdyk, and Austin Matthews with the goals. That's Austin Matthews, 22nd of the season. Nazem Kadri, William Nylander, Hyman, Brown, Marner, and Zaitsev with the assists. So nobody with more than 1 point. They spread it out. Bad news if you have Morgan Riley, though. He did leave the game. Yeah, nothing official. He did come out for another shift, but went off right away. So I don't think it's anything necessarily broken.
The leg was bent under him there.
When you don't come back, it's definitely not good news. We'll probably have some news on that tomorrow. Okposo and Kane with the goals for the Sabres from Gionta and McCabe.
I think that's a silent K, huh? It's Okposo.
Oh, I thought you, I was going to say it's
no, Patrick. Yeah, Patrick Ain. Go ahead.
But Leonard pulled three goals off 16 shots. If you could see the look he gave his coach, didn't look too happy with the move.
Stop some pucks.
And Freddie Anderson, 22 saves for the Leafs.
All right. Ottawa 3 and St. Louis 2. It's getting, like, serious in the Northeast, right? I mean, if you fall below, look where Boston is right now. You can't finish fourth in this because you won't make the playoffs.
Yep.
There's five coming from the Metropolitan. All right, Ottawa 3-2 over St. Louis. This is a big one at St. Louis. We'll see if they can hang on. It's only in through two periods. Scoring for Ottawa tonight, Hoffman, Pajot, and Ryan. Two assists for Tourist, one each for Carlson, and Zingle. For St. Louis, it's Shattenkirk and Stastny. Steen and Tarasenko and Jaskin and Boomista with the assists. And it's Condon and Hutton. I like Condon, huh?
Running out of time here. Minnesota 2, New Jersey 1. Dubnyk 13 saves. Spurgeon with one of the goals there. He bats it with his glove, then hits it like a baseball
player. We've got 43 seconds.
Niederreiter and Koivu with the assist. Zucker from Granlund and Koivu again. Zacha with the only goal for the Devils. Palmieri, Stollery with the assist.
All right, to Chicago 2 and Colorado 1. The recently recalled Nick Schmatz. With his second, Matt Duchene. Power play goal from McKinnon and Barry. And Brent Seabrook, his third, from Rasmussen and Schmaltz. Hey, he's got a goal and an assist.
Florida 2, Calgary 1. Trocheck, both goals. McCann has two assists. Demers and Ekblad with an assist each. Versteeg from Monahan and Giordano, Luongo and Johnson, your goalies.
I lied. 10 seconds from now. Hey, thanks for joining us to catch the podcast. Oh, Buffalo has scored. It's 4-3 at sportsnet.ca.
This is your community-minded station, CFMB Radio Montreal.